Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, April the 22nd, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We thank you for how you show us the way that we should walk. We thank you for the corrections that you provide, so that we will not stumble and fall. And we ask today that you would continue to give us an attitude of love and affection, that we might be obedient to all that you have taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're looking at the subject, repentance. And we are still working with the book, Bible Readings for the Home Circle. Remember, we had made the point that it was published back in 1889. And this particular continuance of study is very important for us. We've looked at faith, we've looked at hope, and now we look at repentance. Again, the subject for today is repentance. And as I said before, we're taking this from Bible Readings for the Home Circle. First question. Who are called to repentance? Luke 5 and verse 32 gives the answer. It says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What accompanies repentance? Luke chapter 24 and verse 47 gives the answer. It says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. So notice now, God has come to call sinners to repentance, and that sermonizing of repentance should be preached among all nations. Question. By what means is sin made known? Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, by what means is sin made known? Romans 3 and verse 20. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Question. How many are sinners? Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 says, we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Question. What do transgressors bring upon themselves? The answer to that is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, which says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So who awakens the soul to a sense of its sinful condition? John 16 and verse 8 says, when he, the Comforter, is come, he will reprove, that means to convince, the world of sin. So who awakens the soul to a sense of its sinful condition? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. What are fitting inquiries for those convicted of sin? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 says, men and brethren, what shall we do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So in other words, this is the way you approach your salvation. You first ask what needs to be done. And of course, God will answer. What replies does inspiration return to these inquiries? Acts chapter 2 verses 37-38 says, repeat, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And then, of course, Acts 16 and verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So notice, it is very important that the question be asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer is given in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Question. What will the truly repentant sinner be constrained to do? The answer to that is found in Psalm 38 and verse 18. I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. So the truly repentant will declare their iniquity and demonstrate true sorrow for sin. Question. What is the result of godly sorrow? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. So true godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. What does the sorrow of the world do? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 continues the thought. It says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. Note the next question. How does godly sorrow for sin manifest itself? When you look at verse 11, it says, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness is wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. So godly sorrow, true godly sorrow, reveals all of the iniquity in the heart and gives you an opportunity to repent with humility and sincerity. And God will definitely respond. What did John the Baptist say to the Pharisee and Sadducees when he saw them come to his baptism? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7 says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What did he tell them to do? Matthew 3 and verse 8 says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, it's not enough just to come to baptism. There's got to be an attitude of repentance. There's got to be genuine sorrow. There's got to be a motivation of the Holy Spirit that brings you to the place where you continue to give your heart over to the Lord in sincerity. Notice there can be no repentance without reformation. Repentance is a change of mind. Reformation is a corresponding change of life. Now let me repeat that so that you get this. There can be no repentance without reformation. Repentance is a change of mind. Reformation is a corresponding change of life. So when God sent the Ninevites a warning message, how did they show their repentance and what was the result? Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So notice now, the Ninevites turned from their evil way. And God saw it. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. Question. What leads sinners to repentance, however? Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So in other words, it is God's kindness, his love, his mercy, his calling upon you that leads to an attitude of repentance. In the book Review and Herald, March the 20th, 1894, beginning at paragraph 4, it says this. Satan is determined that men shall not see the love of God, which led him to give his only begotten Son to save the lost race. For it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, how shall we succeed in setting forth before the world the deep, precious love of God? In no other way can we compass it than by exclaiming, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Let us say to sinners, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." By presenting Jesus as the representative of the Father, we shall be able to dispel the shadow that Satan has cast upon our pathway, in order that we shall not see the mercy and love of God, inexpressible love, as manifested in Jesus Christ. That is Satan's determination, to block the love of God. But we must continue to exclaim the glory of God. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." The very next paragraph on that same book, Review and Herald, March the 20th, 1894, and paragraph 5 says, "Look at the cross of Calvary. It is a standing pledge of the boundless love, the merciless mercy of the Heavenly Father. Oh, that all might repent and do their first works. When the churches do this, they will love God supremely and their neighbors as themselves. Ephraim will not envy Judah, and Judah will not vex Ephraim. Divisions will then be healed. The harsh sounds of strife will no more be heard in the borders of Israel. Through the grace freely given them of God, all will seek to answer the prayer of Christ, that his disciples should be one, even as he and the Father are one. Peace, love, mercy, and benevolence will be the abiding principles of the soul. The love of Christ will be the theme of every town, and it will no more be said by the true witness, 'I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.' The people of God will be abiding in Christ. The love of Jesus will be revealed, and one spirit will animate all hearts, regenerating and renewing all in the image of Christ, fashioning all hearts alike. As living branches of the true vine, all will be united in Christ, the living head. Christ will abide in every heart, guiding, comforting, sanctifying, and presenting to the world the unity of the followers of Jesus, thus bearing testimony that the heavenly credentials are supplied to the remnant church. In the oneness of Christ's church, it will be proved that God sent his only begotten Son into the world." Now, this is the message that God sends to us daily. And as a matter of fact, notice that the love of God is that which brings us closer to him, which starts repentance in our hearts, which creates humility in our souls and in our character, so that we might walk according to his will. When God's people are one in the unity of the Spirit, all of Phariseeism, all of self-righteousness, which was the sin in the Jewish nation, will be expelled from all hearts. The mold of Christ will be upon each individual member of his body, and his people will be new bottles into which he can pour his new wine, and the new wine will not break the bottles. God will make known the mystery which hath been hidden for ages. He will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I will also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily." Jesus came to impart to the human soul the Holy Spirit, by which the love of God is shed abroad in the heart. But it is impossible to endow men with the Holy Spirit who are set in their own ideas, whose doctrines are all stereotyped and unchangeable, who are walking after the traditions and commandments of men, as were the Jews in the time of Christ. They were very punctilious in the observances of the church, very rigorous in following their forms, but they were destitute of vitality and religious devotion. They were represented by Christ as like the dry skins which are then used as bottles. The gospel of Christ could not be placed in their hearts, for there was no room to contain it. They could not be the new bottles into which he could pour the new wine. Christ was obliged to seek elsewhere than among the scribes and the Pharisees for bottles for the doctrine of truth and life. He must find men who were willing to have regeneration of heart. He came to give to men new hearts. He said, "A new heart also will I give you." But the self-righteous of that day and of this day feel no need of having a new heart. Jesus passed by the scribes and the Pharisees, for they felt no need of a Savior. They were wedded to forms and ceremonies. These services had been instituted by Christ. They had been full of vitality and spiritual beauty, but the Jews had lost the spiritual life from their ceremonies and clung to the dead forms after spiritual life was extinct among them. When they departed from the requirements and commandments of God, they sought to supply the place of that which they had lost by multiplying their own requirements and making more rigorous demands than had God. And the more rigid they grew, the less of the love and spirit of God they manifested. Christ said to the people, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works? For they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to the beborn, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone." The remnant church is called to go through an experience similar to that of the Jews. And the true witness, who walks up and down in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, has a solemn message to bear to his people today. He says, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." The love of God has been wanting in the church. As a result, the love of self has sprung up into new activity. With the loss of life for God and love for him, there has come the loss of love for the brethren. The church may meet all the descriptions that is given in the Ephesian church, and yet fail in vital godliness. Of them Jesus says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hath found them liars, and hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." A legal religion has been thought quite the correct religion for this time, but it is a mistake. The rebuke of Christ to the Pharisees is applicable to those who have lost from the heart their first love today. A cold legal religion can never lead souls to Christ, for it is a loveless, Christless religion. When fastings and prayer are practiced in a self-justifying spirit, they are abominable to God. The solemn assembly for worship, the round of religious ceremonies, the external humiliation, the imposed sacrifice, all proclaim to the world the testimony that the doer of these things considers himself righteous. These things call attention to the observers of the rigorous duties, saying, "This man is entitled to heaven." But it is all a deception. Works will not buy for us an entrance into heaven. The one great offering that has been made is ample for all who will believe. The love of Christ will animate the believer with new life. He who drinks from the water of the fountain of life will be filled with the new wine of the kingdom. Faith in Christ will be the means whereby the right spirit and motive will actuate the believer, and all goodness and heavenly mindedness will proceed from him who looks unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look up to God. Look not to men. God is your heavenly Father, who is willing patiently to bear with your infirmities and to forgive and heal them. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. By beholding Christ, you will become changed, until you will hate your former pride, your former vanity and self-esteem, your self-righteousness and unbelief. You will cast these sins aside as a worthless burden and walk humbly, meekly, trustfully before God. You will practice love, practice patience, practice gentleness, practice goodness, practice mercy, and every grace that dwells in the child of God, and will at last find a place among the sanctified and the holy. Dear Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the counsel that you have given. We thank you so much that you continue to teach us what true repentance is, that we see clearly before us that which is called to us to perform. A humble surrender to the Holy Spirit's power to transform and to do the work within us that needs to be done. We ask that you would give us the strength today, that we might walk according to your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry, so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been Morning Manna, April the 22nd, 2021.